The opinions expressed on the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of KTXT, its management, Texas Tech University, or any living person. This is the Devil's Advocate.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Wait, what? Okay, sorry. Is it 5 o'clock on Wednesday? Because I'm ready for like 1 o'clock on Tuesday.
Dr.
I'm
K,
so not ready.
You're drunk. Stop.
Okay. Hey, wake up. And this is Different Hell. Hey, welcome to the Devil's Advocate on KTXT, the Raider 88.1, coming to you live from the College of Media and Communication here at Texas Tech University. I'm going to start with political science first. Matthew Riley. I should have started with Jordan because
thank you. I appreciate it. It's good.
Matthew Riley's joining us for political science, and Caitlin Osborne and Jordan Lejeune from journalism are here with us. So, Caitlin, you're in grad school now, aren't you?
Yep. Oh, yep. I decided to stick around because the workforce right now isn't very friendly towards journalism majors, so I'm just going to end up living in a box until I can figure that out.
So. Yeah, have fun with that.
Working at Jack in the Box? Is that what she said? No.
I don't understand. She's the same age as us, and she's a graduate student. That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I'm super intelligent. Wink, wink, wink.
I'm not even sure how I'm going to survive these last 4 months, much less thinking about graduate school.
Oof. Caitlin is pretty high achieving, I will say.
Just crawl into a ball and just cry. That's how I did it. So.
And if anyone knows that I am not high achieving, it's Dr. K, who had to sit through many of my "but I'm lazy" emails.
He tells me that all the time. I even sent you a story with a link this week that said that. I'm laughing because, so I'm gonna embarrass Jordan. He tells me he's lazy, and then I have a whole bunch of students in a whole bunch of classes, independent studies, scenarios, and who comes to me just abruptly today and goes, "Hey, there's a story in your Dropbox to use on the newscast from today's story." And I'm like, "Oh, cool, it's Jordan." Jordan says he's lazy, but he keeps delivering on project after project. So he talks a good game. I mean, he was the first one here this week. In fact, he got here only minutes after I got here, and he was more prepared. So it was funny.
Maybe I'm too hard on myself. Let's not let anybody back home hear that.
That's our job, to be hard on you, especially
exactly.
On the radio.
Where's Anna when you need her?
Exactly.
She could put me down a peg right now.
Sick like the rest of the university, apparently.
All right, so what should we talk about first? We have so many topics. We have like 15 topics. Maybe we should just like rush through and get to all of them.
Super lightning round.
So we'll start. Here's a nice segue off of what Caitlin said, which is she's concerned about getting a job. You should be concerned about getting a job because it's about to get a lot harder to get a job because of the Affordable Care Act. I'm going to duck right now because Jordan's winding up.
Yeah, because Dr. K, as usual, has gotten this completely wrong.
Let me give you the background. Let me give you the background from the article. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that Dr. K has job security where the rest of us don't necessarily have that. I mean, we're not even getting paid to do this show, so that says something.
Yeah, I better be careful what I say on the radio or I'll lose my job security. So this article is in Reuters, which is what we consider in here one of our few objective, reliable news sources, because we routinely sit in here and make fun of different news sources and the ideology. But a Congressional Budget Office report came out, and Jordan has some very valid criticisms of this, but we'll see. But in the Reuters report, it says, according to this CBO report, work hours, I love this language, listen carefully, work hours would be reduced by the equivalent of 2.5 million jobs in 2024, according to the Congressional Budget Office. And it earlier had predicted a loss of about 800,000 full-time jobs equivalent. Basically, their argument is the Affordable Care Act is more than doubling job loss or shifts from full-time to part-time in the workplace over the next 10 years or so.
But of course, that's not accurate because as the actual Congressional Budget Office report says, the estimated reduction stems almost entirely from a net decline in the amount of labor that workers choose to supply rather than from a net drop in businesses' demand for labor. As the Washington Post fact checker put it, if someone leaves their job because of personal reasons, you don't say that that job was lost. There's a difference. So if people who suddenly don't have to pay as much for their health insurance because they can get cheap health insurance decide that they don't want to work as much anymore, say they only take one shift instead of two shifts, that's not losing jobs. That's less labor hours.
And the argument is, hey, I have affordable health care. Maybe I can quit this second job.
Exactly. So thank you, right-wing talking pundits, for taking things completely out of context, as always. No, John Boehner, you can go on Twitter all you want and say that the Affordable Care Act is going to kill 2.3 million jobs. It's not going to do that.
So basically, sorry, I have a cold. So basically, people are going to become more lazy like you and just decide to work less. Oof.
In a sense, yes, because suddenly they don't have to kill themselves just to afford their healthcare premiums. What a world we live in.
So as long as we're on the Affordable Care Act, I love the president's statement in the State of the Union address. He slips this in, and it was fun, and all presidents do this, so I'm not going to single him out, except, yes, I am. He says, 9 million people have signed up for health insurance or Medicare. He didn't say it just like that, but it's pretty funny because it's actually about 3 million for private insurance through the Affordable Care Act and about 6 million on Medicare, which he did not anticipate. Have you guys signed up yet? Because
no.
As an elderly person, I'm waiting for you guys to sign up so that my health care is affordable.
I'm going to stay on my parents' insurance as long as possible, so until I'm 26, because I'm going to be a journalist, and journalists don't exactly get health insurance.
Yeah, I'm not a journalist, but I'm still going to stay on my parents' very nice income plan for a while.
Here's the thing, Dr. K. I'm more than willing to pay for your health insurance because I don't want you and your peg leg to be dying in the street while I'm trying to go to my new job.
I won't pay for your insurance.
I don't want you to die. I don't want you to not be able to afford your medication.
That's benevolent of you. I appreciate that, Jordan.
Don't let anyone ever say I'm not compassionate.
Okay, a portion of it. There is some bright news, and I love this. I have an analogy for this that puts it in perspective. There is some bright news. I love how they phrase this. It's like a bright spot in the Congressional Budget Office report. It says the U.S. budget deficit will actually be smaller than expected. It's actually only going to be $500 billion this year. It's all the way down in the $514 billion range
It was $1.5 trillion when Bush left office. We're making progress. But isn't this supposed to be the tax and spend Democrats? What's going on here?
Obama continued the trillion plus dollar deficits for three more years after W. So you can't blame W for all of that.
Hey, it's coming down. No, I'm not blaming it. I'm saying we're making progress.
Here's my beef. So at such time as you actually graduate and quit taking on student loans and rather start paying them back, then your deficit will have stopped accruing. That never, ever happens with the federal government. Why wouldn't you eliminate a deficit, which is the shortfall every year, and start concentrating on the $17 trillion national debt, which is the total amount owed?
Because war. We have to go to war and invade other countries.
Two wars.
And we have to enforce democracy and all that important stuff. And that's why we don't have money, because we're spending money in other countries.
If it was up to the Republicans, we'd be gearing up for the third, fourth, and fifth wars.
I'm looking at you,
North Korea, Iran, Syria.
North Korea has
Egypt.
No oil. If we're going to have,
Egypt.
This is my beef. If we're going to have wars for oil, why don't we take the oil? Because then we wouldn't be running up these huge deficits paying for the war. I've never understood that.
Now, Doctor, now you sound like a Republican.
Or we could just recognize that all this money we're talking about is imaginary anyway.
Like bitcoins.
Exactly. It always bothers me when people get so uptight about the government's debt. Like, it's not real money anyway.
We're in debt to China anyway for, like, the rest of our lives. So,
but China is never going to call that debt in because they're dependent on us. If you go into a store and you see all the products that say made in China,
you can't stock Walmart without China.
Exactly.
And they know it.
Well, what if we decide all of a sudden to manufacture our own goods and everything's made in the USA because it's American?
We would suddenly have enough money to pay China back. But guess what? That ain't happening.
Yeah, that's going to happen. When people will buy $60 shoes instead of $20 shoes, same shoe, for union labor, then we can pay that back.
Here you go.
And this is what makes this show, well, two things make this show different, I think, from ordinary, I say ordinary, talk shows.
Is it because we're funny? Well, that's hilarious.
That's a big one. No, we're much funnier. But the other thing is, I like to sprinkle in some fact once in a while, even though Jordan thinks I make up my own facts. But
sometimes you do, as I proved just 20 seconds ago.
Hey, blame Reuters. I didn't make it up. Reuters made it up. The debt is interesting because it is around $17 trillion. Although people, if they talk about actual unfunded mandates and include, for example, the entire Social Security burden, et cetera, I think it's up around $80 trillion. But our, quote, national debt, everybody thinks we owe it all to China. A majority of that is actually owed to, for example, the Social Security Trust Fund. It's money the U.S. borrows from itself. So it's kind of like if you have two checking accounts, you take a little money out of one, shift it to another. That's literally where overwhelming majority of the debt comes from. China actually holds about 7 or 8% of all of our national debt. So when Mitt Romney used to say in the 2012 debates repeatedly, I don't want to borrow money from China to pay for, and he would say some program. And that was misleading because it's like, you mean you don't want to
borrow
7% of the money from... Yes, I did just say something.
You're saying Mitt Romney lied to the American people?
No.
I'm I can't believe it.
It was a rhetorical method. That's all. It wasn't
sure.
A lie. Come on.
That has been at its greatest.
Us and you, Dr. K, is that you're actually maybe going to see a little bit of Social Security, whereas we're not. So
we'll be fine with Social Security. Republicans have been doing this fear mongering about Social Security going bankrupt since 2004. This was one of my favorite things. When George W. was running for re-election, I'm going to be giddy telling this story because I love it so much. When W. was running for re-election in 2004, he kept saying, Social Security is going bankrupt. We need to privatize it. Social Security is going bankrupt. We need to privatize it. The study that he was using to say that Social Security was going bankrupt said that we would live to be 150, yet still retire at 65. Those were the spending levels he was using to say Social Security was going bankrupt.
Well, I think in the contemporary work environment, you're much more likely to die at 65, but have to keep working until 150. So I think those are a couple twists. One, I'm glad you said W and not George W, because I hate when the people call him George W. His name is W. Show respect. but the other thing is, I said it was a rhetorical twist. Now, there are two things about Social Security. One is the Republicans do claim that it's going to go bankrupt, but then the Democrats are always screaming, and you say privatize. Bush wanted to privatize Social Security. Bush wanted to offer people the option of taking 10% of what they put towards Social Security and allow them to invest it in some private manner. It was just an experimentation. It was certainly not going to be wholesale privatization against the will. That was
well,
absurd.
President Obama wanted to offer people the opportunity to try out a government health plan, but guess what? They didn't get that either. So sometimes you don't get what you want.
And that wasn't 10%. That was 100%. But then the other
people
thing
were
is,
choosing.
The other thing is, if it's 100%, it's not a choice. The other part of Social Security is Democrats always scream, Republicans want to take away your Social Security. And that's not true either. They just want to retain it longer. Last thing, the rhetorical twist. You're right about what W said. My beef is Obama did the same thing just last week when he said 9 million people have signed up for health insurance or Medicare. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Everybody plays these games.
No, but he actually said and Medicaid and Medicare. Like, Bush never went on stage with his mission accomplished banner and said, hey, we need to fund Social Security because you're going to live to be 150 and collect retirement benefits at 65.
You're just jealous because your president has never made a trap on a carrier landing. So
yeah, that's one of the few things I'm not concerned about.
All right.
Hey, my president somehow managed to be born in Kenya, yet have a Hawaiian birth certificate. Beat exactly. That, W.
He might have birth certificates in, I don't know, Iowa, Washington State. Could be all over the place. Who knows? That'd be kind of fun. That could be a good cottage industry for us. We could generate birth certificates. My brother-in-law, here's a little piece of trivia for you. My brother-in-law was born in the exact same hospital in 1962, 1 year later, than President Obama in Hawaii. So
really?
Yeah.
Wow, we learn something new every day.
Interesting piece of trivia. So should we move on to another topic?
Well, now I'm concerned about whether or not you are actually a U.S. citizen. Clearly, there are nefarious forces at work.
He's obviously from Kenya. Everybody can tell that.
I am a Dr. K. Truther. Can we get that trending on Twitter? Hashtag Dr. K. Truther.
Hey, do it. Yeah, do it on the Raider. Do it Twitter, 881. Do it on there. Yeah.
Nah, we should start to resort to call you Dr. K. Hussein, Barack Obama,
exactly.
Something like that.
Exactly.
Dr.
Kenya, question mark. I like it. So what do you think, affordable care? We did mention Mitt Romney. Maybe we should talk about Mitt Romney.
Yeah, sure, this is the other story that makes me giddy.
A couple of weeks ago, the Republican frontrunner was, guess?
Chris Christie.
Chris Christie, Governor Chris Christie.
Although Chris Christie doesn't front-run anything. So.
Soon to no longer possibly even be governor of New Jersey. I don't know how bad Bridgegate is going to get, but Governor Chris Christie is no longer leading Hillary Clinton in any polls and is no longer the Republican front-runner. Hey, you in the audience, guess who the Republican front-runner is? Anyone?
It's a name you're familiar with.
Rick Perry,
yes,
right?
Yes, clearly. Thank God, no, it's not Rick Perry. And even I am a fan of Rick Perry, and even I am not at all sure I would vote for him in a
That's
primary.
That's not something you want to admit over the public airwaves.
Sorry.
Well, you're a fan of Rick Perry? What on earth could you possibly be a fan of?
That's some great hair right there, tell you what.
Okay, well,
And whatever the third program was that he wanted to close, I was in favor of that too, whichever
exactly.
One it was. It doesn't
Oops.
Matter.
That's still one of my favorite political quotes.
I know. Oops.
I could just have that on repeat all day. Just oops.
I saw a really funny send-up of him. His book was fed up, Rick Perry's book, the requisite book that everybody writes before they run for president, which I don't understand, but it's a fundraising tool and it gets their name out there. Rick Perry's book was fed up and a number of pundits over the years have written fed up, like on a board, and put a little apostrophe between F and E. And I just love that. Well, Harry effed up.
Dr. Well, Ken, weren't we supposed to be talking about Mitt Romney?
Mitt Romney. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Matthew hits it. Mitt Romney is now the Republican frontrunner for the Republican nomination, which is really funny because when you ask Mitt Romney as recently as this week, hey, are you going to run again for president in 2016? What does he say? Any Tron fans in here?
No.
Okay.
I watched the remake.
There's an integer in the original Tron from 30 years ago, and it's basically just you know, it's on or off, and at one point it goes no. They're about to do something really dangerous. Mitt Romney actually literally said no. I'm not running in 2016. So I think he's out, but he's the Republican frontrunner.
So there's a space for you to run then if he chooses not to.
Yeah, that's gonna happen.
I was born in 1991. Is my response to your reference?
Yeah, Tron was from what century? Okay,
yeah,
never mind.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny that Mitt Romney is now the front runner.
Did Gene Kelly star in that movie?
Exactly.
I would love to see Mitt Romney run again, though. I mean, how much easier could you make it for Hillary Clinton? You don't even have to make new attack ads. You can just run the same ones you ran in 2012. Save the Democrats a lot of money.
And can I just say, this bugs me. I'll make fun of myself. I walk funny, but so does Mitt Romney. I have a bad leg. What's his excuse? Why does he take such little steps? That has always bothered me.
He's got a stick somewhere.
He's dainty,
I'll let you decide where the stick is.
In Texas, we call it a swagger, folks.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That is so not a swagger.
Mormons are not allowed to have swag.
So
they can't even drink coffee.
They have suits while they're riding bikes.
They also
swaggy.
Have magical underwear.
I did not know that. Thanks for sharing.
They have magic underwear.
That's true. Yeah, that is
true. The Mormon faith has some of the most interesting beliefs of any religion out there. I'm just going to throw that. You know, it's great. It's a lot of laughs.
Okay, there you go. And actually... And I think the biggest problem with the Mormon faith, and this is not for me, folks, is that evangelical Christians do not consider them to be Christian enough to come out and actually vote for them. So that was the biggest problem with folks from the LDS Church last year.
But I mean,
I counted. Romney said no 11 times. And the way they wrote it in this article, three sentences. I don't know why it
only
had to be
11?
Three sentences, but yeah.
Not enough. There's still a chance.
He might be a terrible politician. He might be a Republican, but clearly he's a smart man. Why would he run again? Just so he can take his family around the country to be humiliated again?
Spend another $50 million of his personal wealth.
Yeah, that's the main concern. Exactly. That's why you wouldn't run. It's not because of the humiliation. It's because of the money. If he had the money, he'd run it however many times he'd want
to. Hey, if I had $50 million, I would not use it to run for president.
Thank you.
I would buy a boat or something.
If I had $50 million, I wouldn't be here right now.
Exactly.
I wouldn't even be on the same probably country at the moment.
Even on our level. Come on.
No. I would not be at Texas Tech.
There's probably
shouldn't say that on the air. Whoops.
No, that's okay. There's a groundswell. They're actually calling it Mittmentum 2016.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So
that's not even clever.
Like momentum, Mittmentum. Mittmentum 3.0. I'm sorry. When you've gotten all the way to 3.0, come on.
But you can do that with any word, basically, and just substitute Mitt for it. That's not clever.
Yeah. Mittmentum right here on the show.
Exactly.
Okay.
I always like Crispy Christy because he's a little on the large side, just in case you haven't noticed.
If it's any reference to those donuts, then I'm all for it because I love Krispy Kreme.
There
donuts.
You go.
When
we should bring donuts in the studio.
See, that's what happens.
You know?
That's what happens, Dr. K, when you make references that everyone can relate to. People enjoy them.
Okay, I'll try to do that instead of referring to stuff from, say, 1930.
Exactly.
My bad. Okay, sorry.
Talkies. We like talkies.
Yeah. People are like, Tron? What?
Yeah,
okay, never
exactly.
mind.
Well, how do you think I feel when we talk about international politics, huh?
Well, yeah. I'm in a room full of idiots. Help me. Yeah. That's what you think. Okay, I get it.
Heck, 20 minutes into this show, that's how I feel. So.
Okay, let's take a break. Speaking of 20 minutes into the show, you're listening to The Devil's Advocate here on the Raider 881 KTXT at Texas Tech University. We'll take a little break. We'll come back in a couple minutes. We'll talk about some other domestic politics stuff. Our favorite whipping boy, Congress. We're going to talk about Congress, except Congress won't hear because they're not in the country.
Yeah.
But they always hear. Don't be right.
Hey, thanks, Jorge Macias, for the countdown behind the glass there. Back to the... God, I just love the music on this show, which is fun. Hey, maybe we should talk about, since we're doing rock and roll... Well, we'll get to this later. Gibson guitars, they're back in the news. I love that story. You guys may not know this story from a couple years ago. This is another big, evil Obama government overreach. So we'll talk about that. It'll be fun. But first, what were we talking about? You guys were lamenting about, what was it? Income inequality?
Yes, which you don't have to worry about because you have tenure, I imagine.
Yikes, that's a scary thought.
I'm actually not tenured, which is interesting because they're like, hey, great job. Appreciate having you for 6 years. Either you can stay or you're fired. You know, that's kind of how it works. So there's no middle ground. You can't sort of continue.
You getting tenure might be what it takes for me to turn on the teachers union.
You know, it's funny. I've been a couple of places that were trying hard to organize, like graduate students over the years, stuff like that. I have never been a union fan. I always thought it'd be fun.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, I know you're shocked, right? So I always thought it'd be fun to, and help me out. Who's my favorite host on MSNBC that was banished to weekends and... I'm tired. I don't have my afternoon. I usually drink coffee during the show.
See, Ed Schultz.
Ed Schultz, thank you. See, well done. That's why I asked Jordan, because not only...
Oh, of course, liberal MSNBC, who's going to know? Jordan, of course.
Clearly. No, Ed Schultz is virulently pro-organized labor, and I would love to be on his show, not because I would argue with him. And I loved it. This is one of the things we like to do, again, on the show. We come on and like Jordan and I argue about stuff all the time, just randomly in the hallway.
Clearly.
But I like having the two perspectives all the time. I consider myself fairly open-minded. I have a lot of respect for Ed Schultz's position. Comes from a blue-collar family, has been close to union labor, seen the benefits of it. I was a non-union employee in a union shop and saw the other side of it. So my argument is we're both right. I get what he's saying. I just don't agree. But we're not going to talk about that unless you want to talk about it.
You can't be both right. That doesn't make sense. You have two competing ideologies. You can't both be right.
Okay, so yeah, I guess so. Anthony Hall used to say, I don't care which side the coin flip's going, I'm right. And so it was pretty funny because he usually was. But anyway, the income inequality issue is a big deal. It's a growing as an issue, which just shows that this ridiculous cultivation of the 47% of freeloaders in the Democrat Party have succeeded in getting their message across and getting people dependent on government to the point where now this, they make more than me. It's like, well, okay, look, that guy's a highly trained mechanic for General Motors. You flip burgers at McDonald's. Why shouldn't you make different income?
Apparently you are planning a run for 2016 because you sound just like Mitt Romney. Hey, 40% of America thinks they're entitled to food.
47%.
How dare they think they should be able to eat and afford to pay for their medicines?
Grow your own.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, something that's a big issue is the dissolvement, I don't know if that's the right word, of the middle class,
it
you know?
Now.
Yeah, and there was an article published talking about how more restaurants and stores are going on the more high-end, expensive side for people, I guess, like in Congress, who make a lot of money. And
like
then,
Dr. K.
And then there's people that, you know, are catering more to the poor, like Dollar Tree and Walmart and places that I shop regularly because
yeah.
I'm a poor, starving college student who just eats ramen every day, every meal. So,
can you not afford the water or the heat for the ramen? Do you just crunch the noodles?
I'm getting there slowly. Once I get a paying job, I should be able to afford water.
So wait, what caters to us middle class folk? What do we go? We just go to Whataburger?
We just disappear,
oh,
you know?
Let's talk about Whataburger.
Oh, come on. I love Whataburger.
So
I know the owner of Whataburger.
I do not understand how I lived 18 years without having Whataburger.
How about that? Yeah.
I know. It was
the only thing he likes better about Texas than Louisiana.
All right, guys. Enough product placement. We've met our quota.
Yes, please, Whataburger. Give me free food. I'm a poor college student. I will be a shameless whore for your restaurant if you give me free food.
Wow.
Oh, man.
That was organic and accidental, actually. That really was. So that was pretty funny. So yeah, the income inequality is a huge issue. A bunch of Americans now think it's a very important issue. And interestingly, a majority, this is funny because I heard differently on talk radio, which is typical because you can't believe what you hear on talk radio. I mean, if you listen to our show carefully, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
You can't believe what you hear on talk radio.
Especially from Jordan.
Yeah, we all rely all the time on that.
Judas.
About 2 out of 3 Americans, 60%, think the government, by God, should do something about income inequality. So should my money just be redistributed to you guys?
No, See, that's the problem I have with this entire discussion, is that Republicans have made this, we just want to take money from the rich and give it to the poor.
Yeah.
No.
It's not just Republicans who are making this an issue. You're just...
No, what I'm saying is that's the way that they're framing the issue. The difference is the way that I personally, as a very liberal Democrat, would frame the issue of income inequality is saying that a person that's making $400,000 a year should not be paying less taxes through loopholes than somebody who's making $20,000 or $30,000. It just doesn't make any sense.
So I love the language. Loopholes is loaded language. What you have is you have deductions, exemptions.
Credits, tax credits.
Well, they're exemptions, and they're set aside by members of Congress that go through the process of committees and the negotiation, and then they get passed into law. They're tax exemptions. When you have kids, you get an exemption for that tax. It takes.
So that's why people are having more kids.
Exactly. It takes money off of your gross income, and that becomes your adjusted income. I get a number of tax exemptions, and I take everyone I can get that I'm eligible for. They're all legal. And when you'll hear both sides, Democrats and Republicans, call them loopholes, and this annoys me. And this is an issue Anthony and I talked about last year. Not that I'm pining for Anthony. You guys are great. I swear. No, but it's funny because, you know, you get these exemptions, and if you can lower your adjusted income so that you pay lower taxes on that adjusted income, why not? Why not take advantage? Now, there are some adjustments that bother me. So, for example, there's one, and it makes sense. The wealthy pay Social Security payroll withholding taxes. This is complicated. I believe up to about $107,000 of their income. Then above $107,000, they stop paying that withholding. Now, why, you may ask? Are you curious why?
Oh, of course, always.
Because the wealthy can only collect Social Security up to an income of $107,000. They're not allowed to collect Social Security on their $400,000 lifetime income. So that's why that number's there. So I get it. It makes sense. But that's an exemption I would let go. If you earn $500,000 a year, I'm still going to let you collect Social Security on your $107,000 in income. Because guess what? If you're making that kind of money, by God, you should be responsible for your own retirement. Go ahead and pay the Social Security payroll withholding up to $500,000, $1 million, Mitt Romney's. And then another thing that bugs me is there are two tax rates. And this was a big issue in the 2012 campaign. There's your income tax rate, 25, 30% on your earned income. And then there's the tax rate you earn on investment income. And that's only
15%. Capital gains.
That's stupid. If
yes,
you're in a 35% tax bracket, you ought to pay 35% on your capital gain.
Thank you.
So there are two concessions from the right wing.
Hot diggity daffodil. Me and Dr. K agree on something because, good Lord, capital gains just bugs me so much.
This
Matthew,
is a rare
what'd you
moment.
Put in my cup? Is this water? I thought this was water. I'm a little scared because I'm agreeing with Jordan.
It's terrible. You know, and
how fooled the duck gets not.
This is the problem I have, too. And this is radicals. Speaking what I'm about to say right now.
Oh, there's a change.
But I think the entire tax system needs overhauling because guess what?
Well, that's nothing new.
If someone makes 10 times as
much
money. You're
right, a good flat tax or a national sales tax, you're exactly right.
God, no.
Jordan's right on the money here.
God, no. If someone makes 10 times as much money as you, you should not be paying the same amount of taxes as them. And that's what it is right now. I don't understand how we cap wealth at $250,000 in our current, or whatever it was when the president got his increase to, what, $278,000 or something like that. So if somebody makes $400,000, they should not be paying the same tax rate as somebody who makes $4 million. That just doesn't make any sense. And a flat tax is terrible because it's still unfairly taxes the poor.
So
because the less money you make, the more of your money you have to spend to survive.
So, Jordan, would you recommend a taxing system similar to what the French have? They collect, I believe, 70% income tax, while we, as opposed to us, 30?
Yeah, just under the new president. Yeah, he just instituted that.
Exactly.
And actually, what's interesting is decisions have consequences. Now, a bunch of prominent actors, soccer players, Liam Neeson. A bunch of prominent wealthy people in France are leaving France or planning to leave France.
No, 70% is obviously, we're never going to get back to that.
But we need to put a number on it if we're going to proceed it.
Yeah, you know, when Eisenhower,
World War II,
exactly. So, and it was steadily there. I mean, I don't have a problem even with, say, 40%, 35%, if you would make it taxing all their income. Okay, you don't give them that 15% for capital gains, and suddenly, yes, the rich are paying their fair share if you actually tax them 35% on their entire income. If it's in your bank account, it should count as income.
Well, again, like with the middle class, you know, a lot of people, they're kind of caught in between two brackets. Like my parents, for example, my dad's a doctor, but he's like the very low scale doctor, like the least paid kind of doctor ever, which he should have been a surgeon, but that's another story. But my mom, she was working originally, and she had to quit because the amount of money that she she made all went to taxes because her working put her in a new tax bracket. So really it was more economical for just one of them to work. And that's a big issue now because with the minimum wage maybe being raised and, you know, people discussing that, you know, people aren't making as much money as they'd like to. And especially with the middle class, we're dissolving and going more towards the poor side or the rich side, depending on how much money you make. So,
yes, your mom had to quit her job because some can't say that word on Wall Street is, you know, only being taxed 15% on the millions of dollars he's making on the stock market. Come on. This is America.
At the same time, and this is, America is written on boards in a couple places around the building here. It's pretty funny. Without the A, it's just an apostrophe, America, because you're in By God, Texas. No, not even By God, Texas. You're in West
And in
By
America,
God,
we speak English. Ain't that right, Coca-Cola?
No.
This is an interesting issue. I would agree to some of these tax breaks with this caveat. I don't believe in an estate tax. I just think that's cruel and inhuman. If some family has accrued some wealth in some way, whose business is that? I mean, it's just obscene to take 30%, 50% upon death of an estate. I just think that's appalling.
Yeah, that's another thing we can agree on.
Yeah.
Something I'm not a fan of. But
is that right?
Yes.
I'm shocked.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So all I really need to do is marry a member of Congress, then when they die, I'll get about $100,000 of widow's tax, and that way I'll be set.
Do what the governor did. Marry a Kennedy.
$168,000.
Marry a Kennedy. That's what you do.
I'm sure there's plenty around. I'll find one somewhere.
There was a mini scandal. My dad lives in Ohio, 94 years old, living in that terrible weather. I think he's preserved from alcohol. I'm not sure. Love him to death. He's great. But he's the reason I'm interested in politics, which is kind of funny. He's more right wing than I am. But
yikes.
I know you're scared.
We should have him on the show.
One of the scandals there is they had a Congress member. She served one term, her 2 years, and then retired. She gets lifetime health care, lifetime protection from Secret Service if she needs. She gets special junkets. She's got a tremendous retirement system, a six-figure pension starting immediately for the rest of her life. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So, Caitlin, don't marry a member of Congress. Just run for Congress for one term.
Just one term. I'll be
set. But heaven help the poor American if they want health insurance. You're on your own. You are on your own.
Yeah, they can pay for that same as they can pay for that national sales tax that would get added to their dollar shoes at the dollar store. So, no, I get what you're saying.
Hey, I live with an 8% sales tax in good old Louisiana. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Back in Louisiana.
Well, Texas's sales tax and property taxes are actually disproportionately high because we don't have a state income tax here. So, you know, the money comes from somewhere and it gets spent, but we'll see. So the other scandal, as long as we're talking about Congress, and we can say anything we want about Congress. Do you know why we can say anything we want about Congress?
Because they're not here.
Exactly, because they're gone. They're out of the country. This Congress has taken more free trips around the world in 2013 than any other Congress going back to, I think, the 1980s or 1990s. It's been a couple decades since another Congress blew this kind of money. So
because they don't want to be here because they know that we're screwed up. So they're trying to get as far away from us as possible. Once we land people on Mars, they'll probably go colonize it and have their own planet.
How is it our fault?
They're not doing anything.
Yeah,
so
that's not the reason at all. The reason they sat down, they were like, guys, we're doing as much work as we doing here as we would if we weren't here. So let's just leave and preserve the status quo.
Exactly.
Wink, wink.
Wait, that's a good point. Yeah, we're doing as much work, which is none. So we're not doing anything. I don't know.
And we all know who I'm going to blame.
I mean,
for
Dr.
That.
K, the only difference is you have to be there for a filibuster. That's the only difference between them.
They can do it over Skype, maybe. Then they don't have to be there at all. Use technology to your advantage.
Well, it depends on how, you know, if you're a woman, you have to be there, at least in Texas. Or if you're a man, you can just kind of leisure off
the
whatever
way God
you want.
Intended it to be.
Amen.
Wow. I will hit you guys.
Just make sure you have Dr. Seuss books in your personal library.
Exactly. Which is so funny because Green Eggs and Ham is about a person who's so ignorant that they hate something they've never tried.
I thought Green Eggs and Ham was like a giant metaphor for politics or something. That's why.
I have no idea. All I know is that it's a book about a guy who's like, oh, I hate this, but I've never tried it. Oh, and once I tried it, I like it. So Ted Cruz is reading it as he's talking about something that he's never tried, but somehow he hates. Irony, people.
Obamacare. Love it. Okay, very nice. So just for trivia, Congress members went to Puerto Rico, Israel, Ireland, Morocco, France, South Africa,
Of course they go to
Turkey.
Israel.
Of course they go to France.
Well, you can't. I don't think you can count Puerto Rico as a foreign trip.
Well,
have you been to Puerto Rico recently?
Hey, it's a U.S. territory.
They are our territory.
Counts.
They are ours.
I do not consider Hawaii part of the United States.
That's no.
Alaska's really Canada.
Wait a minute.
Have you been there? There is a huge difference.
No, I haven't. We're not all as fancy and have a bunch of money to go to Hawaii like you do.
Well, then Dr. K knows what I'm talking about.
Been there, done that. Exactly right.
Yikes.
Yeah, 51st state, I think no. By the way, when you guys go on vacation, what kind of hotels do you stay in?
The cheap kinds, okay. Like Motel 6.
Wherever my mommy and daddy park the vehicle.
Right. Nice. Like the Waldorf Astoria, those kinds of hotels? Is that where you stay when you're?
Absolutely.
Okay, because,
Holiday
that,
Inn.
Because that's where members of Congress stay when they're not in the country. I'm just
what
letting
you
know.
What do you expect?
Yeah,
and do they pay the bill themselves? Probably not.
H-E double hockey sticks, no. Absolutely not. They don't pay.
We want to talk about tax loopholes.
Organizations like this is one of Matthew's favorites, the America Israel Education Foundation.
Oh, fun.
Spent $1.5 million on travel just in 2013 for Congress members. And that's just one organization. So,
Israel. Yeah. Pa.
Israel.
Keep going.
Israel's the most popular destination. It's more than $2 million in yearly travel for congressional junkets. There's a shock for you. So.
Well, of course it is. What's an easier way to get votes than to just simply say, I love Israel?
You know what I think? I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I'm pretty sure there isn't that kind of money floating around the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Am I right? What do you think?
No. Netanyahu is doing something with it. I don't know. Maybe he's petitioning a new super secret jet from us. I don't know.
Could be.
God.
Not a secret anymore. You told us about that, by the
way. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and our other secrets, the Chinese have them. We've heard that from an authoritative source, too. So let's take a break before we get in more trouble, because Congress isn't listening, but I'm pretty sure Edward Snowden and the NSA are. So.
And the IDF.
Yeah, exactly.
Yikes.
So we'll take a little break. We'll come back in a couple minutes here on The Devil's Advocate. Thanks for joining us, and we'll come up with some more fun stuff to talk about.
Thank you.
Okay, so Caitlin may be the only woman here, but at least I have a girl's name. Hey, Dr. Kelly Coughlin, coming to you live from Media and Communication on the Raider 881. This is the Devil's Advocate. It must be between 5 and 6 on a Wednesday. We were just talking about this. Caitlin was spitting nails because a special guest of the president at the State of the Union address was the General Motors executive, the chief executive of GM. And we were talking about income inequality. What was the issue with income inequality? Was there an issue?
Oh, are you asking me?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's an issue. I don't know what everybody else thinks.
She earns less than half what her predecessor made. And by the way, maybe it's because she doesn't have experience in that industry, or maybe because she hasn't been at GM. Except, oh, wait, no. Her predecessor, who made double what she made, was male. He'd never worked in the auto industry, parachuted in for a couple of years, took an enormous $10 billion buyout to, quote, save the company, and then jumped. In fact, I think he's working in a government job now. She got promoted to CEO after 30 years with General Motors, but she's only worth less than half what he's worth.
That's just sad. Personally.
No good deed goes unpunished.
You consider that a good deed?
Well, for the yes, absolutely. I mean, she worked hard. Well, as opposed
to I thought you meant the other guy. Was
no,
good
no, no,
deed.
No,
I was
no,
like,
God,
wait
no.
a second, no.
I'm not trying to upset you that hard on the show, at least not yet.
But yeah, I mean, being a woman, I personally think we should be paid the same. I know some people disagree because they think, oh, a woman will get maternity leave if she has a baby. But I personally don't plan on having a kid if I have one until I'm like 30 or something. So I don't think my wages should be dependent on whether or not I may have a kid in the future, possibly, sort of.
Hey, bosses let you go home early because you have to have dinner cooked, according to Mitt Romney.
Oh, wow.
No. I could never
I only
believe...
cook ramen, remember?
He said that in a debate. And it was not a huge national story. That always boggled my mind, how a presidential candidate in the 21st century could say that essentially it's okay to pay women less because they have to go home early and cook the dinner. And nobody had a problem with that. What is wrong with you people?
Well, if someone here wants to cook me dinner, I'm all for that. So you guys can leave early.
Did that apply to all women or just the ones in his binders?
Yeah,
just binders full binders. Of women. Just there. There was an irony in this because the president said to uproarious applause, women still get 70 cents on the dollar, 77 cents on the dollar to
wow, 70 cents. Awesome.
Yeah. And,
I'd like 100 cents personally.
Well, there you go. And Mary Barra from GM was sitting in the audience earning, what, 46 cents to the dollar of what her predecessor earned. So there's just a bit of an irony there. We thought it was fun.
Equal rights. Who needs them?
Cough, cough.
Yeah. Not that she's starving, but still. Fair is
so fair. So even if they decide to raise the minimum wage, it will just be raising the minimum wage for guys
for men.
More. Yeah,
exactly.
So that's a great, you know, confidence booster
America.
Right there.
America.
Is that wrong? Okay, sorry.
Just maybe. Just me. Not for you. How much do your female colleagues make compared to you?
Dr. K has female colleagues?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, we have female faculty members. I'm sure they make at least 3/4 what I earn. So it should be fair. I mean, it's right in keeping with the national average, right?
Yikes.
Is that wrong? They want my tenure,
she's
right?
Okay. I have several of those female colleagues as teachers. I'm going to make sure I get a tape of this. Guys behind the glass,
he's
please.
Gonna,
I want this on
he's
record.
He's going to run everywhere. No, actually, there are contractual margins, basically a narrow little zone in which if your title is assistant professor in media communication, you get paid X, whether you're male or female. And I lived in Miami for many years, so sometimes there are third options too. But yeah.
Yeah, some of those third options involve things we can't talk about on the radio.
Okay, yeah, we don't want to go there. I got in trouble in a class one time because somebody was trying to illustrate a point, and they're like, "Well, it's a nominal variable, meaning it's either male or female." And I'm like, "You've never been to Miami, have you?" Okay, so anyway.
Oh, I'm surprised.
There's a reason he's in Texas now, apparently.
Tell you what.
I'm actually surprised, though, that there are those things written in. I would expect in Texas, especially in Lubbock and Texas Tech, they might try to use some kind of shenanigans to say that they don't have to pay women anything.
My God, Texas.
I actually wrote a story for my advanced reporting class about income inequality between male and female faculty. And actually, Texas Tech does a pretty good job of making sure that, you know, things are equal. I don't know about the rest of the United States because apparently GM doesn't follow that principle, but...
Well, so two things. I think if GM got another huge multi-billion-dollar bailout, that they'd probably raise her salary right up to what that other joker got. But the other thing is, it's possible because I have a girl's name, I may get paid less than other men at the university. I don't know.
Yikes.
But so speaking of treatment of women, and what we could roll Mormonism into this and all kinds of stuff. We do have a Bible story this week. One of our favorites. We always like these, so it's kind of fun. I am scandalized by this, actually. This actually really disturbs me, and I think some people in the audience will be shocked. Shocked, I say.
Shocked.
Which is a great line from a great movie. Guess where Lubbock places on the list of the 100 most Bible-minded cities. Where do you think Lubbock places?
Well, it ranks number one in the Bible cities that annoy me, so I'm assuming it would be
pretty
high.
In its own mind, it's probably number one.
I'm pretty sure wherever Jordan lives, that city's going to be too Bible-thumping and annoying to him.
True. Very, very true.
So even Jordan, New York, LA,
Jordan, you should move to Providence, Seattle. New Bedford. I'm just going to say.
Boston all the way.
Yeah, or possibly, and I love this. I said this in the break, but I'll say it again. Boston, they don't have the Bible in Boston. They don't need it. They're Catholic. I'm Catholic. I can say that. Sorry. So if I offended all of you,
I was raised Catholic, and I consider that.
I am also a recovering Catholic, and if I offended you, I'm quite happy.
My name is Caitlin, and I was raised Catholic.
So this fascinated me. So where do you think Lubbock fell on this list of 100 cities nationwide, most Bible-friendly cities?
Top 20, maybe.
You would think, right? A top 10, maybe top 5, maybe number 1.
Maybe.
Bible, I mean, they take great pride in like more churches than more churches per capita. I mean, you hear
we
that.
We have the Kent Hance Chapel.
Tell you
Christ
what.
People
sakes.
Get married there.
For
and
God
apparently
sakes.
There's funerals there.
So
I've never
little,
been to one.
I'm a little scandalized by this because Lubbock is not on this list, which is shocking to me. I'm stunned. In fact, this was especially ironic. The very first Texas city on this list comes in at 22. And it's Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm like, come on.
Oh, the horror.
Where does Dallas-Fort Worth fit? I mean, how is that even possible?
Well, did they mention like how they did the study? Like, is it by population or by just
I'm pretty sure they just
something?
Prayed on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
They asked their
the
magic
force.
Eight ball, you know. Is
no,
this
no.
the right one?
No, they were inspired by, and it's a two-syllable word, God. So they were inspired by, okay, I'm sorry, I'm being irreverent. I'm going to get in trouble here, but yeah, I was shocked. I'm like, Dallas, at least Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church is in Houston, for crying out loud. I mean, Dallas, for crying out loud, 22, Dallas. Houston is on the list. Austin is on the list, and Lubbock isn't. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Because nobody wants to admit that Lubbock exists. We're just out in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by dust and cotton and more dust.
Yeah, as if we needed something else to let people know that Lubbock's negative. The weather sucks. People thump Bibles everywhere.
It smells like cows.
Exactly. This
Jordan's
is just,
here.
This is the worst place ever. How did I end up here?
Yeah, you're from Louisiana.
That's
maybe
not,
you're
that's
regretting
not true.
Your decision.
Louisiana's on the list. Louisiana, we talked about this. Louisiana came in high on the list. What was it?
Yeah, it's
which
it's,
city
it's,
in the
it's Shreveport.
Okay, sure.
But there's a reason we call it
Shreveport. Yeah.
Shreveport.
Shreveport was fifth on the list. Came in fifth, which is pretty remarkable. So I didn't see that coming. I wouldn't have guessed that. There are a lot of churches in Shreveport.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, sorry. I haven't.
This is the type of area where
I drive through Louisiana. I'm afraid to stop there. Or Arkansas.
You should be.
Okay.
Here's a tip. Don't stop in Shreveport. That place sucks. But yes, this is the type of
you should become a travel agent. I'm sure you'll do really well.
That's the same type of area where the Duck Dynasty people live. So clearly they're Bible thumpers. They don't have anything to do. Electricity just got there like 5 years ago. They don't have anything to do but read their Bibles.
Oh, man.
It's awful.
They still have Gutenberg Bibles from
exactly.
400 years ago they're reading. So.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. All right. Enough of that. Let's take a little break. We're going to come back, have a little fun with some lightning round topics, and we'll wrap up for this week. But thanks for joining us, the Devil's Advocate on KTXT The Raider, 88.1.
So grandma, you fell off the swing. Because hell, hell is for children. And you know that their little lives can become such a mess. Hell, hell is for children.
Hey, welcome back to the Devil's Advocate on the Raider 88.1 here at KTXT. Hey, stop playing Angry Birds, Matthew. We gotta talk about some stuff.
So. Dr. K, stop making up stuff.
You're taking a real risk over there, by the way, playing Angry Birds.
Dr. K, you could at least make a more convincing lie.
Actually, you shouldn't be touching your cell phone because I guarantee you know who's looking for it. So, yeah, you just need to be careful.
The IDF?
Exactly. Yeah, you know they're coming, so... Yeah,
we've clearly made enough references to terrorist organizations.
The Mossad is all over your cell phone.
I'm not going to remind everyone what I said about the IRA. So clearly they're monitoring
the
show.
I can remind them for
you.
No,
let's not.
Rovio is the company in Finland that makes Angry Birds, the very popular game, which I have never played. I don't have the app. I don't like it. My kids have played it. I'm not a big fan. I feel really lucky. And every once in a while, you do the right thing completely by accident. The NSA has been plucking Angry Birds and a bunch of other games through their advertising networks and getting personal data right through those apps you're playing on your phone. So you in the audience, right now, you're looking at your phone, and the NSA is eye tracking you. They know exactly what you're doing on your phone.
Oh, God, the NSA, they know our high scores now. Now what are we going to do? Our privacy.
Now I'm really embarrassed.
Goodness.
I don't have a high score. They don't even call it a high score.
Big Brother is watching.
Yeah, so I just love that story. It's like even the apps, and this is on top of the revelation a couple weeks ago, the NSA is grabbing 200 million texts every day and throwing that into a database. That's pretty remarkable.
That's not a revelation. That's common sense.
I've been
at
wanting
this
to text NSA this and NSA that just repeatedly since then, but I'm pretty sure they're already deluged with that kind of smart alecky stuff.
Look, Dr. K, all you do is you type in one text message with all the keywords, terrorism.
Exactly.
What is it, Al-Qaeda or whatever they're called right now? Okay. Mujahideen.
Yeah, so here's another great way to get the NSA to look at me. Maybe our last topic of the day. There are 10 jobs that attract psychopaths.
I love this.
The top 10 jobs that attract psychopaths. I'll work around it. One's pretty obvious. The top one is CEO, which is pretty funny. No surprise there. Two is attorney. I'm going to skip to four, which is salesperson. This one's downright scary. Number five, surgeon. I do not want my surgeon being a psychopath, and now I'm going to be really nervous if I ever need surgery. Number seven, police officer. Not another one you do not want on the list, and I could never be a cop because I would be dragging people out, clubbing them in the head, and I'd be like, you have the right to shut the bleep up. That's what I'd do as a cop. I couldn't do it. Number eight, I love this, clergy. Clergy.
Actually, that's not all that surprising.
Okay, that's a
you
little scary.
You have to have a sort of the ability to do mental gymnastics to believe in most modern religions anyway. So no, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Okay, number nine, chef. That doesn't horrify me, except now I think everything I order at every restaurant has been spit on. Everything.
Spit on? These are psychopaths.
You're killing animals. Of course they're psychopaths.
I mean,
this is coming from the person who loves boiled crawfish, where you can literally see them attempting to climb up the pot to get away from the boiling water.
Horrifying.
It is horrifying when you think about it, which is why I try not to think about it.
Yeah, you just don't look at them. You close your eyes.
Exactly.
You put the
lid on the pot.
Okay, civil servants, number 10. Probably not a surprise there. I don't know. Here are my favorite. Number six, journalist.
I knew it.
Jordan's nodding his head knowingly, like, yeah, that's why I'm going. I mean, why do you think I want to? I'm a little nervous now because
if you've listened to more than 20 minutes of this show, you know I fit on this list perfectly.
This show, and I'm saving the best for last, number three, television, radio, media. So there you go. You want to be a psychopath? Join us on the Devil's Advocate. And there's a reason we call it that.
I mean, come on, guys. Let's look around. Are we really that surprised, honestly?
Not in the least. No, not in the least.
Of course not. My head is spinning 360 right now.
Anyway, welcome. So the reason we call it the Devil's Advocate, we're all psychopaths on the show. So anyway, we're going to have to leave it there. But what better way to end the show than that? Radio, television, media people, psychopaths, duck. And really take a careful look at choosing your surgeon. Hey, thanks for joining us this week on the Devil's Advocate. We'll be back next Wednesday at 5 to talk more politics and hilarity. We'll see you then.